Welcome to Season 6 of the Food for Your Soul podcast, where we apply the Word of God to the hearts of men and women to stoke the fires of your delight in Christ. This season of the podcast is devoted to the greatest sermon ever preached, the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus teaches his people about life in the kingdom of God.
Deep down inside you is a filter that colors all the facts in one direction or another before they reach your brain. Today, Jesus teaches us how to guard that filter. Matthew 6:22. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If, then, the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness?
Why the connection between generosity and light? The reward you get for your generosity is light. Why? Of all the rewards, of all the benefits that Jesus might promise to generous people, why light? What is the connection between generous eyes and spiritual perception? Or to put it negatively, in what way does greed prevent you from seeing things as they really are? How does greed mess up your eyesight? The answer to that question is crucially important for living the Christian life. Most of us imagine that our perception of truth is a function, more than anything else, of the mind. We gather the facts, we weigh them rationally, and we count on our mind to come out with the right conclusion. It's really not how it works. There is something deep, way down deep inside you, deeper than your mind, that gets a hold of the facts before they make it to your mind and colors them one way or the other. So what your mind gets is never just the plain facts. What your mind gets are always doctored facts that are colored in such a way as to point to one conclusion or the other. And that thing deep down inside you, that grid through which all facts have to pass that colors them one way or the other, is what Jesus here is calling the eyes. It's that part of your heart where your motives live, where your cravings are, and your biases and your attitudes. When that and that thing deep down inside you decides that option A is absolutely out of the question, then when your mind gathers the facts and tries to make its honest, unbiased appraisal of the facts, those facts will always clearly point to some decision other than option A. It'll always seem like, oh, no, clearly option B obviously is the right way. And you know what? I don't think it's possible to override that. I've seen this in my own life. I've seen it in my own interpretations of Scripture. I try my absolute hardest to interpret a passage of Scripture going only by the facts, pure exegesis, without any prejudice, one way or the other, and those facts point me to a certain conclusion, certain interpretation, I say, okay, that's it. And then, years later, when my attitudes have changed and my affections have changed toward certain things have changed, I study that passage again and realize that my interpretation was wrong. And the facts didn't really point to that interpretation. I thought they did because the various values and attitudes in my heart colored the facts to point them in that way. Now, if you're kind of a rational thinking person, you're going to hear this and think, man, Daryl, if what you're saying is true, this is terrifying. This is terrifying. The idea that you can't count on your brain to arrive at the right conclusion and be completely objective, that's scary. That's very scary. It's scary because you think, if I can't count on my intellect, then how can I be sure that my interpretations of the Bible are correct? How can I know? The answer to that is this. Actually, before I tell you the answer, let me say this. The world's answer is, you can't know. Our culture will say, you can't know for sure. You can't ever know for sure. You're so full of biases. There's no way you can know. And so the latest thing now is you have to have what they call the hermeneutics of humility and just admit you can't be sure about anything. You can't be sure that Jesus is God or that he died on the cross. You can't be sure of anything. Everything might be wrong because you got all these biases and working in you. And I don't agree with that. There are some things we can know for certain. The answer to the question is simply this. How can you know for sure that you're going to arrive at the right conclusions? The only way to see to it that is that you arrive at the right conclusions is to make sure that that thing deep down inside you that's coloring the facts is healthy. It's healthy. If that thing, that part of your heart, is functioning properly, then what it'll do is it will color the facts in the right way so that you will tend to go to the right conclusion, even in times when your mind doesn't even have enough facts to really weigh everything. You'll still tend to go towards the right conclusion because it'll be a bias towards truth. And what is this thing deep down inside you that colors the facts? Jesus says it's the eyes. He used the metaphor of eyes to describe that thing. It's your way of looking at things and people. That's why he calls it the eyes. So I think maybe a good word to describe that thing deep down inside you, is your outlook. Your outlook. What is your outlook on life? If it's a selfish, greedy kind of an outlook, then all the facts are going to be colored in a way that you're not going to be able to discern what is true. You're not going to be able to know. But if your outlook is a generous, honest outlook, then you're going to be able to see things clearly. You're going to see things as they really are. Last week we found that your earthly treasury is composed, it's made up of those things that are the things that your heart treasures, the things that you feel like you've got to have those in order to be happy in life, but that won't exist a million years from now. And for that reason, there shouldn't be anything in your earthly treasury. Nothing. Because there is no earthly thing that's temporal that you have to have in order to be happy. If you think there is, then that thing is an idol in your life. All you need is Christ. And so we should empty out our treasuries. And there's three reasons, as I said before, to empty it out. First, earthly treasure will all be lost. Second, where your treasure is, there your heart will go. And now third, in this text, you should empty out your earthly treasury because those things that you have in your earthly treasury, the more you have in there, the more it will distort your vision and you're going to be able to see things as they really are. If you think you have to have money in order to be happy, or some possession or a certain relationship in order to be happy, or you have to have a certain job or a certain marital situation or whatever you think you have in order to be happy, that will color all the facts before they get to your brain. And there are different kinds of facts that will all be colored. You can put them in three groups. There's Bible facts, wisdom facts, and people facts. So let's look at each of those three. First, Bible facts. Anytime there's a certain Bible passage that looks like it's starting to have implications that might put one of your treasures at risk, you know, these things in your treasury, the thing that you think you have to have in order to be happy, and this Bible passage is starting to sound like, wait, I might have to give that thing up. As soon as that happens, that thing down deep inside you, your outlook will color the facts so that when you come to your conclusion, you can still keep this thing. You won't be able to see the truth. If your eyes are greedy and covetousness or covetous or envious or selfish, your eyes are going to go dark and your whole self is going to fill up with darkness, which means you're not going to be able to understand what God's Word means when you read it. You're not going to make heads or tails out of it. There are people who, for the life of them, can't seem to understand what the Bible says about divorce. It's so confusing. I can't get it. I read it, it doesn't make sense. And very often, the reason they can't see it, they're so blind to it, is because in their earthly treasury, this thing that they're holding on, this thing they think they have to have in order to be happy, is the freedom to bail out of a marriage if things get too rough. And that, and they're clinging to that. And they're clinging to that makes them blind. They can't see what the Bible actually means by what it says. You see that? If the equation before you is 2 plus 2 equals what? But something deep down inside you rejects 4 as a possibility. Out of the question. Then this simple equation now becomes the most difficult equation in the world. No matter how many PhDs in mathematics you get, it'll be so complicated, it'll be so hard, you will rack your brain and you will not be able to figure out the answer to 2 plus 2 once you throw out 4 as a possibility. See that? And that's what happens when we have greedy eyes. And this, that's true of understanding Scripture, and it's true of understanding wisdom. When you try to make wisdom decisions, any decision on how God is leading you, you'll pray, God, please show me the way. Show me your will. I want to know what to do. I've got this hard decision. I don't know where to go. I don't know what to do. I'm at a loss. I can't figure this out. Please give me wisdom. Show me the wise path here. And no matter how much you pray that and how much you cry out to God and plead for wisdom, you will not be able to see the wise path. Your eyes will go dark. There are people who are begging God for direction and count and wisdom, and they're just as lost as ever. They're wandering around and they don't know where to go and they can't see, and they make one bad decision after another. They keep going the wrong way and gets them into all kinds of trouble and problems, and they can't see the right way to go because deep down inside them, the attitudes of their heart, their outlook, their way of looking at things is selfish and greedy rather than generous, and so their vision is just clouded over. And they can't see wisdom. And so they say, God, show me your will. Show me which way to go. And God says, okay, go that way. Take this path. And they look down that path and, you mean the path that leads to selling my house and downsizing and giving the difference to the poor? That's not why. There's got to be, what is another path? There's got to be another path. They can't see it. They say, show me your will, God. And God shows them a path that means, okay, go down that path. And they look down that path like, cut off this relationship with that person? No way. And they can't see the wise path because their heart is treasuring that relationship. So they can't discern God's guidance. So they're going to be cut off from Scripture. They're going to be cut off from wisdom. And thirdly, they're going to be cut off from the truth about people and their personal relationships. You have greed in your heart and you're going to be messed up. You are going to constantly misread people, misunderstand people, misconstrue their words and actions, misinterpret their motives. You're always going to be mixed up. When you have selfish eyes, there will be people who will come to you and shower you with love, and to you it'll seem like they're being mean to you. It'll seem like everybody's being mean. Everyone's inconsiderate. People like that, people with selfish eyes, they bounce from church to church to church to church. Every church they've been to, the people are incredibly inconsiderate and unloving and unfriendly, and they leave behind them a trail of broken relationships wherever they go because they're incapable of seeing the truth of what's going on in personal relationships because they get a selfish eye.
The application for today's study is obvious. Are there any earthly treasures, possessions, circumstances, relationships, or anything else that your heart treasures so much that you wouldn't be able to hear anything God says that might mean you have to let go of it? Preach to yourself. Make an impassioned argument to your own soul that it does not need that thing in order for you to be happy. Then pray and give that treasure over to God. Tell Him that you're willing to give it up if that's what's needed to follow His will.
Thank you for listening. We pray that in this series your life will be transformed by the soaring ethics, deep insights, and glorious promises of the Sermon on the Mount. We are crowdfunded ministry, so if you would like this podcast to continue, please consider supporting us with a tax-deductible gift. Just go to treasuringgod.com and click on Give. Until next time, rejoice in the Lord always and set your mind on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God.